Okay, so imagine running for judge. You need to campaign, but can't directly ask for money.
Wow.
It's kind of pickle, right? That's the wild scenario we're diving into today. Williams Uliva, Florida bar, where free speech went head to head with judicial integrity.
Yeah, this is definitely one for the legal history books. It's one of the few times, actually, that the Supreme Court upheld a law that restricted speech, and even under strict scrutiny, too.
Strict scrutiny. That's a pretty high bar, legally speaking, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so let's break this down. What exactly went down in this case?
So we have Linnell Williams Uniehe. She was running for county court judge in Florida.
Okay.
During her campaign, she did what a lot of candidates do: send out a fundraising letter, signed it, posted it online asking for donations.
Seems pretty standard.
Yeah, you'd think so, right?
Yeah.
But here's where things get interesting. Florida has this rule, Canon 7C1, and it says judges and judicial candidates, they can't personally solicit funds for their campaigns.
So even though it's common practice for other political candidates, judges are held to a different standard.
Exactly. Florida's argument was that if judges are out there personally asking for money, it creates this appearance of bias. And that's a huge GE no-no when it comes to, keeping public trust in the judicial system.
Makes sense. So did the Florida bar just let this slide? I mean, it seems like a pretty common thing, as you said.
Oh no, they did not let it slide. They sanctioned Williams Uliehe for breaking this rule.
Oh, wow.
She fought back, of course, saying, "Hey, this is violating my First Amendment right to free speech." The case, this thing went all the way up to the Florida Supreme Court. And they actually sided with the bar.
Whoa, so this wasn't just like a slap on the wrist. This was serious.
Oh, this was a full-on legal battle. And it didn't stop there. Williams Uliehe, she appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and to everyone's surprise, they actually agreed to hear the case.
The Supreme Court. That's got to be a pretty big deal for them to even consider it.
It's huge. And in the end, the Supreme Court, in a close decision, 5-4, they upheld the Florida rule. Chief Justice Roberts, he wrote the majority opinion, and his reasoning was, it's really interesting, basically what he said was that judges, they're inherently different from politicians. And even the appearance of bias, just the appearance, could erode public trust in the system as a whole.
Interesting. So they were prioritizing the perception of fairness over an individual's right to free speech, at least in the specific context.
Precisely. They were acknowledging that if someone sees a judge personally hitting people up for money, it could raise doubts about their impartiality, even if those doubts are completely unfounded.
But the court did acknowledge that fundraising is important for any campaign, including judicial ones.
Yeah.
How did they square that with the restriction on personal solicitation?
Yeah, that's where this concept of narrow tailoring comes in.
Okay.
The court found that the Florida rule, it was narrowly tailored because it didn't ban judicial candidates from fundraising completely.
So there's still a way for them to get the money they need to run their campaigns.
Exactly. The rule, it only prohibited personal solicitation. Judges, judicial candidates, they could still raise money through committees. So it creates this buffer between them and the donors, which reduces that risk of perceived bias.
That makes sense. Allows for fundraising without like a direct link between the candidate and the people giving the money.
Right. The court basically said, you need to raise money, we get it, but you can't do it in a way that might compromise public confidence in your impartiality.
So the majority opinion was really focused on preserving that trust, that crucial public trust in the justice system. But what about the dissenting opinions? There must have been some pretty strong arguments against restricting free speech, especially from the justices who dissented.
Oh, absolutely. The dissenting justices, they were not holding back. Justice Scalia, especially.
What was his take on this?
He basically roasted the whole ruling, called it a blatant violation of free speech. He just didn't buy the distinction between allowing fundraising through committees but not personal requests. To him, that was arbitrary, and it really undermined that core principle of strict scrutiny, that standard used to evaluate restrictions on free speech.
So Scalia felt this rule wasn't specific enough to justify limiting free speech, even for judges. I can see that argument. What about the other dissenting justices? Anything else stand out?
Justice Kennedy had a really interesting point. He brought up the irony of the whole situation. The very people who are supposed to be upholding the First Amendment, judges, are having their own speech restricted.
Yeah, that's pretty ironic. Creates a kind of paradox within the legal system itself.
For sure. And it raises this bigger question: are we setting a dangerous precedent by restricting the speech of judges, even if it's to try and preserve public trust? It's messy, no easy answers.
We've covered the majority and the dissenting opinions in Williams Uliehe. But what about Justices Ginsburg and Breyer? They voted with the majority, but they had some interesting points in their concurring opinions, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Justice Ginsburg, she really emphasized the unique nature of judicial elections. She argued that states, they should have some leeway to regulate these elections differently than you would a regular political campaign. I mean, the role of a judge, it's just fundamentally different than, you know, a legislator or executive official.
In what ways? What kind of differences did she point to?
Well, one big one is that judges, they have to be impartial, right? Like, that's the whole point.
Right.
Their decisions, they got to be based on the law, on precedent, on their interpretation of the law, not on, you know, personal feelings or political leanings.
So allowing them to personally ask for campaign money, that could undermine that whole perception of impartiality.
Exactly. Ginsburg basically argued that, you know, we need to keep public confidence in the judiciary strong. And sometimes that means we have to have stricter rules for judicial campaigns, even if those rules might seem like they're, you know, a little tough on free speech in other situations.
It makes you wonder, though, does this open the door to more restrictions on how judges behave,
mm-hmm.
not just during campaigns, but, you know, in general, like on social media, public appearances, even the organizations they're affiliated with?
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, isn't it? I mean, if the court is willing to say, okay, you can't ask for money directly, where do we draw the line? These are questions that legal scholars are still debating.
And Justice Breyer, he also wrote a concurring opinion. Did he focus on something different?
Yeah, his focus was really on this idea of strict scrutiny itself. He agreed that it's the right standard to use when we're talking about restrictions on free speech, but he argued that we shouldn't apply it too rigidly.
So context matters.
Exactly. Breyer was all about looking at the specifics of each case. In his view, the unique role of judges and that whole idea of public confidence, it justified the restriction on personal solicitation, at least in this instance.
So even though both Ginsburg and Breyer sided with majority, their concurrences really highlight how complex this whole issue is,
right,
and how much room there is for debate and interpretation.
Oh, absolutely. Williams U. Lee, this isn't a closed case by any means. It's really fueled a lot of discussion about the limits of free speech, the importance of judicial impartiality, and how to balance those two things.
You know, it's interesting thinking about this case in light of Citizens United. That case basically threw the doors wide open for corporate spending in elections. But Williams U. Lee seems to be going in the opposite direction, at least when it comes to judges.
Yeah, that's a sharp observation. It does seem like those two cases take very different approaches to campaign finance. Citizens United was all about free speech, you know, the rights of corporations to participate in the political process. But with Williams U. Lee, the focus shifted to protecting the integrity of the judicial system and making sure the public sees judges as impartial.
So are we seeing a change in how the court's thinking about these things? Or is it more that these two cases are just dealing with totally different issues?
It's tough to say for sure. Some legal experts think that Williams U. Lee shows a growing awareness of how money can influence politics, especially when it comes to the courts. But others argue that this case was really just about the specific ethical rules that apply to judges.
I guess we'll have to wait and see how this plays out in future cases. But it definitely seems like Williams U. Lee has just, it's added another layer of complexity to this whole debate about campaign finance and free speech, which is already pretty complicated to begin with.
Totally. And this isn't just some theoretical legal debate, you know. This stuff has real consequences for how judges get elected, how they behave, and in the end, how justice is served.
Yeah, it really makes you think about the kind of justice system we want, the values that we want to prioritize. Do we want judges who are totally shielded from any outside influence? Or is it okay to accept that there's always going to be some level of politics involved in how judges are chosen and how they act?
Those are the big questions that Williams U. Lee brings up. No easy answers, and it's a debate that's likely to keep going for a long time.
This case really highlights how important it is for people to be engaged, to understand what's going on. If we want a justice system that reflects our values, we need to understand these issues, we need to talk about them, and we need to hold our elected officials accountable.
I couldn't agree more. This isn't just something for lawyers and judges to worry about. It affects all of us.
So where do we go from here? What are some of the key takeaways from Williams U. Lee that our listeners should keep in mind?
Well, I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is how blurry that line is between free speech and judicial integrity.
Mm-hmm.
This case really makes you think about, about the trade-offs we've got to make in a democracy. It's easy to say, yeah, I'm all for free speech, but then when you apply it to something as sensitive as the justice system, things get a lot more complicated.
It's like trying to walk a tightrope, right? Yeah. We want judges to be accountable to the people, but also we need them to be above the fray, you know, free from outside influence. It's a tough balance. And Williams U. Lee shows there's no easy answer.
Yeah. In this case, it also shows how important it is to really understand these legal decisions, all the nuances. Hmm. It's not enough to just know what happened, who won, who lost. We got to dig into the reasoning behind the decision, what the dissenting opinions were, and what it all might mean for future cases. Exactly. And that's where I think Williams U. Lee is so valuable. It gives us this framework for how to think about these issues. The court, mm-hmm. they didn't just say yes or no. They really wrestled with these big ideas, free speech, judicial impartiality, the role of judges in our society. And those are questions we need to keep asking ourselves, you know, as citizens.
What about for you? What really stood out to you in this case?
It's interesting how it contrasts with cases like Citizens United, where the court said basically, corporations, they have this First Amendment right to spend as much money as they want on elections. But then in Williams U. Lee, we see a totally different approach, where the priority is on protecting the courts, making sure people see judges as neutral.
It's almost like there are two different visions of how democracy is supposed to work. One is all about this free flow of money and information,
sure.
and the other is more focused on fairness, uh-huh. at least when it comes to the courts.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it highlights something important. Law, it isn't just some abstract thing. It's a tool, right? It's how we shape the world around us. And every choice we make, every precedent we set, it has real consequences down the line.
So for all the lawyers and law students listening, what should they be taking away from this case? What questions should they be asking themselves?
Well, first, I'd say, where do you stand on this? Do you think that Florida rule, was it necessary to protect the courts? Or was it going too far, stepping on free speech rights? And then how do you see this ruling affecting things down the road? Could we see more restrictions on judges' behavior? Or is this just a one-off, something that won't have a big impact on other cases? No easy answers, but the questions are important, really important to think about.
And I think this case shows how important judicial elections are. They don't always get a lot of attention, but they really matter. You know, they have a huge impact on our lives. We need to be informed voters, understand the issues, and know who the candidates are, what they stand for.
Totally agree. And we need to talk about these things. You know, what do we want from our courts? Judges who are totally separate from public opinion and politics? Or do we want them to be more connected to the communities they serve, more responsive to people's needs? These are big questions, questions we need to be asking as a society.
This deep dive, we've just scratch the surface of this issue, but hopefully it's given our listeners something to think about, a better understanding of these legal and ethical challenges we face in a democracy.
I'd say so. I hope it encourages everyone to keep learning about these things, keep the conversation going about how to create a justice system that's fair and works for everyone.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Williams U. Lee v. Florida Bar. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp and keep those conversations going.